J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Snow falls in the winter.
Snow falls hard, don't you know?
This town don't look good in snow.
Think of Christmas, think of snow.
Snow is really piling up outside.
Skating away on a thin ice of a new day.
How's the weather?
Ain't no change in the weather.
Going well, the weather.
Weather, here's Al Sleet, your hippy-dippy weatherman.
How is the weather?
Weather. Oh, the weather outside was whitening. Till the dog did something frightening. He's got no other place to go. Yellow snow, yellow snow, yellow snow.
And he doesn't show signs of stopping. As he sniffs around, he's dropping. You see him everywhere you go.
In the snow, yellow snow, yellow snow.
When he finally goes outside, he'll be frolicking round in the storm.
He'll be marking our yard with pride. You can tell by the steam that it's warm.
When the snow begins its thawing, it reveals those puppy drawings. He's a frisky little pooch Van Gogh. Yellow snow, yellow snow, yellow snow.
Come here, Yeller. Come on, boy. Good doggy. Oh, not on Frosty.
He'll be marking our yard with pride. You can tell by the steam that it's warm. Well, he's happy and his tail starts wagging. But the snowman's left side is sagging. There's a little puddle right below. Yellow snow, yellow snow.
Oh, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, 282 days remaining in our American system of government as we have known it. Hi, it's JC here at jconline.com, and guess what? You'll never guess. The Schnucks panic aisle is open. All right, now believe it or not, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the storm, and the reason why is at 7 o'clock when we post this, you will have already been bombarded by every newscast, every radio thing, every social media message. And so let's just tell you the basics of this whole thing. And a lot of our information coming from the great Chris Higgins over at Fox 2. I'll tell you, you know, Chris had big shoes to fill with the retirement from TV of everybody's pal Dave Murray, who is the gold standard in this whole thing. And Glenn Zimmerman does a nice job, and Angela Huddy and everything like that. They're all good, but Chris really takes a scientific approach to this whole thing. There's no BS in his weather forecasting. So basically what we have here is something, is a situation where if I were you, I would spend less time worrying about whether the forecast says we're going to get 5 to 7 inches or whether you're only going to get 2 inches because you're on the fringe of this whole thing, because we have people listening not just in the St. Louis region, but all over the world, really. I got a guy in China who listens to the show, believe it or not. Yeah, so maybe a little less concentration on the amount of snow. There's going to be plenty, and more just on the overall magnitude of this storm, because it is a huge motherfucker, and that's all I can tell you. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, the northwestern counties, you know, you go out to like Troy and Bowling Green and Herman and places like that, they'll start to see the ice. And then between about 3 and 6, it'll hit the St. Louis area. So between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., you'll start hearing like ping, ping, ping on your windowsills. And that's between 3 and 6 in the morning. And then between 6 and noon, an even more intense ice storm will continue on a 45-degree angle from Fredericktown and Perryville all the way up to Vandalia and Salem and places like that. So that's just the ice. And as you know, especially, like I just said, that area down near Perryville and places like that, that's where you don't want to be, because there's going to be trees coming down. They're talking about maybe a quarter of an inch of ice, a quarter of an inch of ice on trees and power lines. Go out and get yourself a generator today, because you're going to need it. So then as the temperature continues to drop, it's going to be a situation where you'll start to see this stuff turn over to snow between about 2 in the morning and 8 a.m. for the northwestern counties. Around 8 in the morning, somewhere about 8, tomorrow morning is when the St. Louis County and places like that will start to see the changeover to snow. And then a heavier snow band goes from, Rolla, and then going northeast all the way up to Carlisle and Vandalia. And unfortunately, it will still be icing in those places down around Chester and Mount Vernon and Fredericktown. Like I said, I hate to put it this way, but that is where you don't want to be during this storm. And then we flip over to snow. And that's where it gets really difficult to say with any degree of accuracy what's going to happen and how much snow we're going to get, because it depends on at what point that ice turns over to snow. If it turns over to snow earlier, everybody's going to get more snow. If it turns over later and it continues to be ice, this will end up being more of something that's remembered as an ice storm more than a snowstorm. But, you know, we had one of these things in, what was it? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I remember it was November 30th, because it was one of my daughter's birthdays, and she spent her birthday, huddled in front of the fireplace because we had lost power for over a week. So that was one of those situations where the ice came for several hours and then the snow came in on top of that in 2006. So anyhow, depending on, which weather forecast you listen to, you're going to get varying snow totals. As of last night, by the way, at 8 o'clock, I was turning on the Weather Channel just to see what they were saying. And they're saying our region is going to get 12 to 18 inches of snow. Now, I don't know what they're saying this morning, but they can't stick with that forecast, because that does not appear to be even close to being right, because they're not taking into consideration the ice. And of course, the biggest question is, when does Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel show up? Because then you're fucked. When Jim Cantore shows up, then you're like, we better get the hell out of here. By the way, 3:30 in the afternoon yesterday, I swear to you, I'm not making this up. 3:30 in the afternoon yesterday, KMOX does a newscast, then does a weather forecast, and does not even mention anything about the storm. They didn't even mention anything that from your official weather station, they like to call themselves. By the way, this is such a dirty trick. There's places in the region that are going to get close to 60 degrees this afternoon. And the other thing to take in consideration is there's going to be a lull tomorrow, sometime during the day. So we're going to have all this ice, and we're going to have a change over to snow, and then nothing's going to happen for a period of hours. It could be 4 or 5 hours where nothing's happening. And this is where all the idiots will get on social media and go, ha, ha, look at that, we're wrong again. And make sure you get the names of all of those people, because when the second wave of this thing comes through, and then it really starts pouring ass snow outside, and where the majority of the accumulation is going to take place. Get in their faces, please. Get in their faces. So anyhow, with the update of this being so much more ice than was perhaps originally anticipated, they're saying 5 to 7 inches of snow for St. Louis County and the whole St. Louis area. It'll be more snow as you go northwest. It'll be more ice as you go southeast. But for St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and the whole general listening area of St. Louis, it's about 5 to 7. I'm going to go with about 8 based on what I've seen. But again, that is going to be a real severe cutoff as you go from northwest to southeast. You can just imagine looking at the St. Louis region and then just like a 45-degree angle from down near Oklahoma up towards Chicago. And, you know, as you go to that right side, that lower right side, you know, I'm not doing a very good job of trying to explain this. Can we bring in an expert?
This is Frankie McDowell, my old team station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Major winter storms headed towards Missouri on Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. It's going to bring around 6 to 12 inches of snow in Kansas City, Missouri. It's going to bring a mix of rain and snow in St. Louis, Missouri. It's going to bring a lot of precipitation snow in Springfield, Missouri, and Jefferson City, and Seymour, and the surrounding areas. It's going to bring a lot of snow in Kansas City, Missouri. That could cause dangerous or treacherous driving conditions. It may bring freezing rain and sleet. It's going to bring a lot of snow in Kansas City. It's going to bring snow and rain in St. Louis. That could cause dangerous or treacherous driving conditions. Since the cold air is coming from Canada, warm air is coming from the Gulf of Mexico. That's going to cause a winter storm in the state of Missouri. Streets, roads, highways, the interstate highways will be snow covered in state of Missouri, including Kansas City, Missouri. It's going to bring a lot of snow. Winds are going to be pretty strong. That's going to cause blow and drift snow in Kansas City and surrounding areas as well. It's going to bring windy conditions. It's going to bring cold temperatures behind the storm as well. People in Kansas City, Missouri, and the rest of Missouri, be prepared. Be prepared for it. Major winter storm on Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. Take care. Stay safe. Don't get caught in major winter storm. Stay warm. Be safe.
Well, there you go. Frankie is checked in. So now you know. Look at this. You know, I haven't watched the Weather Channel in the morning in a long time. Stephanie Abrams got a boob job. Look at that. She looks great. But those are some major league fake honkers on her. All right, let's just see what they're... I can't believe this. All right, hold on. Here you go.
There it is coming in. Wednesday, even Dallas, we're still at 38 degrees as we head towards 5 o'clock. That's all changing, though, Kelly, as we head into the overnight hours. And you see this last for the day on Thursday, but it's out of here at least as we head into our weekend.
I mean, this is going to be quite the transformation.
Damn, girl.
Your window before you go to
bed.
Where's
Kelly Cass?
Up in the morning, and it is snowing pretty hard. And unfortunately, there will be that in-between icy period, too, that ice accretion that we're so worried about. So for now, you can see portions of the Midwest with winter storm warnings, including Chicago, although it looks like the heavier snow will be on your south side. Also watching places like Fort Wayne, Indiana, Detroit, Cleveland. You guys could knock out your deficits. I know Chicago, you're down 5 inches. Could we get rid of that? Well, we are calling for anywhere from 5 to 8 inches of snow, and especially on the south side. But watch the areas in the darker shade of purple, anywhere from St. Louis over towards Springfield, Urbana, Illinois, all the way into the Circle City. We could see as much as a foot to a foot and a half of snowfall.
So they're sticking with this 12 to 18 inches. The Weather Channel is sticking with their forecast of 12 to 18 inches. Wow! Okay. Game on. Jeez, the groundhog is going to try to come out of his hutch tomorrow morning. It's going to be iced shut. I just can't believe it. They're sticking with 12 to 18 inches on the Weather Channel. All right. Well, the Chinook's Panic Aisle is open. And it appears we're going to have some major flake news tomorrow morning.
Flake news is a copyrighted feature.
Don't you forget it. I'll sue. Tired of having people steal my stuff. Spring training is supposed to start in 2 weeks. Major League Baseball owners and players are having another negotiation today. That's a good sign that they're still meeting. And it's also a good sign that they're not talking publicly in a lot of instances. That's generally seen as good news. But then again, with all these bizarre egomaniacs that make up both the Players Association and the owners, you never know. All right, all kidding aside, take this storm very, very seriously. This is going to be a tough situation here for a lot of people in the next few days. It is officially February, and we got some things to look forward to. Of course, the Super Bowl between the Bengals and the Rams is a week from Sunday, February 13th. The Daytona 500 coming up on February 20th. The Winter Olympics get started tomorrow. The opening ceremony is until Friday, but there are a few events happening before that. Other stuff on TV, South Park returns for its 25th season tomorrow night. The new Pam and Tommy miniseries hits Hulu tomorrow. Lily James, who was so good in the movie Yesterday about the disappearing of the Beatles, she's playing Pamela Anderson, and I've seen some clips and stuff. She just looks great. She's so cute. Damn, is she cute. Anyhow, so that's coming out tomorrow. NBC's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air drama reboot called Bel-Air premieres on the 13th. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is back on the 18th. The original Law and Order returns for season 21. That's February 24th, 12 years after season 20 aired. In movies, Jackass Forever opens this week. Marry Me, Jennifer Lopez, hits theaters and Peacock on the 11th. The new Texas Chainsaw Massacre will pop up on Netflix on the 18th. And this year's Oscar nominees will be announced a week from today on February 8th. The ceremony is March 27th. And finally, the holidays, the big ones, Valentine's Day on the 14th, President's Day on the 21st, and the entire month of February, Black History Month. There's a couple of other holidays tomorrow, Groundhog Day. You'll hear from Bill Murray. You'll hear from Andy McDowell. And you'll hear from the director, Harold Ramis, tomorrow, because we talked to all three of them about that movie. So you'll be hearing what they have to say about just one of the great movies ever made. Pizza Day is on the 9th. National Guitar Day is the 11th. Drink Wine Day, says here, is the 18th. But of course, we know better. Drink Wine Day is every day, and the 22nd is National Margarita Day. So the big controversy yesterday was Whoopi Goldberg on The View, and who's watching The View? Okay, it's almost all women, just because of the time of day that it's on. And does anybody really like Whoopi Goldberg, or do we just tolerate her at this point? Anyway, yesterday, she doesn't just step in shit, she rolls around in it, by saying she made controversial comments about the Holocaust. And that's a very, very polite way of saying what she did, that the comments were controversial. So it was a firestorm all afternoon yesterday. And then she had already been scheduled. She was already booked for Stephen Colbert. You'll recall yesterday morning, we told you that she was going to be on. And I think I made disparaging comments about her then, too. Now, keep in mind, there are some comedians and actors and singers and stuff like that that transition well from being an entertainer into being somebody who is, very well educated with regard to the events of the day, current events, social consciousness and stuff like that. Some people do it very well. Just because you're a singer doesn't mean that you can't be an excellent, political commentator. Being an entertainer does not exclude you from having a very worthwhile opinion on something, particularly if you're well-educated about it. And like I said, some people do that very well. Others do not, and I would put Whoopi Goldberg in this category. So last night, and I'm sure they talked about this before they went on the air, and they said, let's just get it out of the way right off the top. So here's Whoopi Goldberg trying to explain her way out of what happened yesterday. This is last night on Colbert. Polite applause. There's people hooting.
Good to see you again.
Who are
you? Good to see you again.
And you.
All right. Now, you made some news this morning.
Yes.
On The View.
Yes, I did.
When y'all were talking about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And would you care to follow up? Clarify what you said this morning?
I don't know.
Because it confused some people.
It upset a lot of people.
Yes.
Which was never, ever, ever, ever my intention. I thought we were having a discussion. Because I feel, being black, when we talk about race, it's a very different thing to me. Mm-hmm. So I said that I felt that the Holocaust wasn't about race. And people got very, very, very angry and still are angry. I mean, I'm getting...
You can tell she's serious about this. She uses three verys. Very, very, very. Yeah.
The mail from folks and mm-hmm. the very real anger, because people feel very differently. But I thought it was a salient discussion because...
SAT word of the day, salient.
I think of race as being something that I can see. So I see you and I know what race you are. And the discussion was about how I felt about that. I felt that it was really more about man's inhumanity to man and how horrible people can be to people. And we're seeing it manifest itself these days. But people were very angry and they said, no, we are a race. And I understand. I felt differently. I respect everything everyone is saying to me. And I don't want to fake apologize. You know, I'm very upset about that people are misunderstood what I was saying. And
see, now right there, I don't want to fake apologize, but I don't want people to be upset because they misunderstood what I said. That's not an apology. That right there, that's the definition of a fake apology. I'm not sure this is going away. I think she might still have issues here dealing with the aftermath of this whole thing. You know, I sort of found out the hard way. There's just no way to have discussions on commercial radio and TV. You know, you can do it on podcasting and stuff like that. But there's just nothing to be gained by even trying to talk about things like race or the Holocaust. It's pointless because no matter what, you put one word out of place and you got people who want your head on a stick. It's a shame it's got to be like that, but I'm telling you, it is like that. Meanwhile, Joe Rogan continues on, although he did something I didn't think he was going to do, which was basically apologize and say that he's going to try to do better. I was not expecting that to be his response, so I don't like him any more than I used to. I still think he's a big, dumb nut, as my father would have said, but at least he's not making the situation worse. Meanwhile, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Nils Lofgren, some other people, perhaps Foo Fighters, also saying, I'm not sure that this is over either. I mean, Joe Rogan, I think, did about the best he could have done yesterday. I'm not sure it's going to be enough. Madonna posted some sexy pictures of herself, which I inspected this morning for journalistic purposes only. And, all right, she's like, what, 65 years old? I know very sexy 65-year-old women. And if you got a good photographer and the lighting is good, you know, some professional pictures, you know, you can look really good. So Madonna puts out these pictures. Nelly doesn't like it. Nelly says something should be covered up. Madonna's fans immediately went after him, and he's hiding right now. Antonio Brown, the guy who quit right in the middle of a football game in Tampa a couple of weeks ago, the glove from his shirtless tirade at the game is being auctioned off. It's going right now, it's $1,700. And now we got to wait 2 weeks for the Super Bowl and all the run-up to that whole thing with the game being in Los Angeles. You had Rebel Wilson and James Corden are at SoFi Stadium to watch the Rams game over the weekend, and up to about 20,000 people near San Francisco couldn't watch the game on Sunday because some idiot with a gun fired a bunch of shots in the air from his car, and the bullets severed a Comcast cable. So people are sitting there going, go away. This is when people forget that the game is over the air. People have totally forgotten that you can pick up the game with an antenna and a TV and you don't necessarily need cable, but most people don't even know how to do it anymore. And if you live in an apartment, you don't really have that option. And a lot of condos are like that too. And the efforts by Stan Kroenke and the Los Angeles Rams to keep 49er fans out of the ballpark, they had all these little tricks going about when you applied for tickets, what your zip code was, and they were trying to filter out 49ers fans. It didn't really work. They said there were a lot of 49ers fans in the place. Rachel Maddow stepping away from her MSNBC show for a few weeks to work on some other projects, including a movie being directed by Ben Stiller. I know no information above and beyond that. John Mayer, Dave Chappelle, Jim Carrey, and more came together to host a little shiva for Bob Saget at the Comedy Store in L.A. a couple of nights ago. If you're watching this series, it's a docuseries, The Secrets of Playboy. It alleges that Don Cornelius from Soul Train sexually assaulted two Playboy bunnies. They also are saying now that Hefner was bisexual. Why would that not surprise me? All right, late night tonight, Liam Neeson and Jenny Slate with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel has Lily James. Yep, she's playing Pam Anderson. And what a delightful young woman this is. She was so freaking adorable in Yesterday. Stephen Colbert's got Faith Hill and Clarissa Ward, journalist. Johnny Knoxville, Nick Offerman on with James Corden. Seth Meyers has David Letterman because this is the 40th anniversary of the debut of Late Night. February 1, 1982, Dave came on, and it really did change television. It changed it in so many different ways. We'll get to Dave here in just a couple of minutes. Birthdays today, Harry Styles, who seems to have sex with everybody, 28. Ronda Rousey, 35. Michael C. Hall, that would be Dexter, 51 today. Paulie Shore, 54. Still considered in show business, huh? Okay. Lisa Marie Presley, 54. Sherilyn Fenn, Audrey on Twin Peaks, 57. Billy Mumy, Will Robinson, Lost in Space. A little trivia question here. It was Bill Mumy, who is a close friend of Weird Al Yankovic, that introduced Weird Al to the woman he would eventually make his bride. Billy Mumy, 68 today. Garrett Morris, one of the original Saturday Night Live cast members, is 85 today. This is the 18th anniversary of that bullshit thing between Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. It was completely choreographed. They continue to propagate the big lie that it was a wardrobe malfunction. It wasn't. And in 1964, on this date, the governor of Indiana thought he heard some stuff in Louie Louie that was pornographic, and he called for a ban. The FCC did their own investigation and said, we can't even understand what he's saying, so we're going to just sort of let it go. And when the Kingsmen did that song in the studio back in 1963, released in 64, I'm just guessing the last thing on their minds was the idea that in 2022, people would still be listening to that fucking song. God! All right. Dave Letterman is going to show up with Seth Meyers tonight. And Dave's spending most of his time in Montana these days. So I don't know if it's going to be one of those satellite things or not, where they'll do it on Zoom or whatever the case may be. You see him on a screen, or whether he's going to show up in the studio. Either way, it should be a lot of fun reminiscing about 40 years ago today when Late Night premiered in 1982. Back in the late 90s, I had what turned out to be another in a long series of David Letterman interviews. I think I interviewed him about a dozen times. If you throw in all the phoners and all the satellite interviews and the face-to-face stuff, he came to St. Louis a couple of times. I went to New York a couple of times. And in this particular case, Morty, his producer at the time, said, give you about 10 minutes. We'll fly you in, put you in a nice hotel. You come, you watch the show. After the show, Dave will come out and you do like 10 minutes. Are you interested? I'm like, fuck yeah. So I flew to New York, got a camera crew, the whole thing. And we set up, it was supposed to be a 10-minute interview, ended up going 23 minutes. And Morty kept sticking his head in like, are you guys done? Are you guys done? I want to go home. But Dave just seemed to be enjoying himself. You see what I did there? I talked like Dave. He's enjoying himself. That was Moford Bardu. Moford Bardu, a character that he conjured up way back when he would prank call his buddy on Indianapolis radio back in the, I guess it was late 60s. Anyhow, I think I've played back the second half of this interview a couple of times, but I don't think I've played back the first half very many times. So on what is the 40th anniversary of the debut of Late Night with David Letterman, we go back to the late 90s in New York and Dave's office after the show.
Well, Dave, you're the only inspiration left in a business that doesn't have much. I'll tell you that. This is a very unattractive time to be in our business.
Yeah. And it's television. The problem is anybody can be on television. When I started in television, and probably yourself as well, it seemed like, oh no, there must be a test. At the very least, there's probably some kind of verbal exam. There must be questions you have to answer. There must be a registration or a licensing process. But it turns out, of course, there isn't. So all manner of idiots like myself get to be on TV, and we've ruined it. You know, Ed Murrow. Now, there was a guy. Ed Murrow should have been doing everything. Ed Murrow, Ed Sullivan, anybody else named Ed in those days? Mr. Ed. Those
Ed Hurley.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, the voice of Kraft. Those are the kind of guys that should have been in broadcasting and should have been broadcasting today. But now it's punks like me, like you. We're watering the pool.
Well said. Well, earlier this month, you began your 15th year. What do you think you know about people, about television, about America after 14 years of doing this?
I know that America is, without question, the greatest land on the planet. And you know this, it comes to you subtly, and it comes to you in certain ways that perhaps you find incredulous. But nonetheless, it happens to be true. And it's reinforced to me and for me each and every night, because I visit with the people who come in to the studio audience, and you understand that the energy and the interest and the intelligence of this people collectively is a microcosm of what's at large in a greater sense. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah,
it makes no sense to me. I know, but it has no meaning, does it? About halfway through that, I realized I have no clue.
Well, in the show's infancy, the critics liked the show, and they liked you, and they liked the comedy. They were very critical of your interviewing skills. When you look back at those, no, you remember, that's what they said.
Yeah, I can't do interviews.
When you look at those old shows compared to now, you are in very, very much command of the whole interviewing situation.
I still stink. Just between you and me, I still stink.
No.
It's not an interview show. The purpose of the show is we get somebody on there, we loosen them up with a couple, I enjoyed the film, or it's so nice to see it, and then bang, 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 we go to work on them. That's no interview. If you want an interview, go, get yourself on Koppel. There's an interview. Go see Donahue. Go see Oprah. Go see some of those folks. We're just kids screwing around trying to have fun.
Yeah, I don't know why, but people seem to be surprised when they find out that somebody like yourself has actually been to their community. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought somewhere along the line you had spent some time, maybe as a kid in college or something, coming through St. Louis?
It was a great experience for me. It was kind of a landmark experience. It was kind of one of those focusing moments in your life, because to me, Gateway to the West actually meant something. In 1975, I loaded up my 1973 Chevrolet three-quarter ton pickup with all my earthly, worldly belongings and headed west on I-70. And when I got to St. Louis, it actually, crossing the river, it was actually, kind of a moving, it was just like my gosh, here I am. I really am going west. And that was the first time I'd been in Missouri. And I have to tell you, I was so impressed. Of all of the, there were three states that really impressed me making that journey. Missouri was the first one, because Indiana going west, it's flat, it's cornfield. And then you get into Missouri, and the eastern third of Missouri, beautiful, lush, rich, black, dark soil, and a nice rolling terrain. The topography is beautiful. And I can remember being captivated by, wow, this is the way Indiana should have been. Now, there are very nice parts of Indiana that are sort of like that, but Missouri was heartbreakingly beautiful. And then I was impressed also with Texas because of its enormity, just endless horizons. And then when we got to New Mexico, I mean, it really is the land of enchantment. And those three states really got my attention. And also Kansas kind of fools you, because for the first, 50, 60 miles of Kansas, it looks like Missouri. You think, well, this is great. And then, of course, the bottom drops out. And for the next 2,000 miles, it's just, wow, where? What is this? It's flat, and we're going 100 miles an hour here, and we're still not making time.
And by the way, I promise we won't go to their house or anything, but you have relatives in St. Louis, do you not?
I have, let me get this correct. I have a niece and her husband living in St. Louis. Yeah, they moved there from Cincinnati. They love it.
Two businessmen from Switzerland have created a beer specifically for the homosexual community.
Ah, really?
Have you heard that?
Oh,
yeah.
The
beer is called Queer Beer.
Queer Beer.
And it's marketed by their company called Lemonhead.
That's the
Lemonhead,
company.
Yeah. So now we have a beer for homosexuals being brewed in somewhere in Switzerland. So what were the top 10 list tonight is top 10 slogans for the new gay beer.
I see.
Because
that's it.
It's not enough that it's gay beer. You have to have a catchy
slogan. Yeah. I wonder how gay beer would differ from heterosexual beer.
I have no idea.
Okay.
All right, now.
And the band has a few successes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't repeat
I probably
that.
Better not know.
No.
Top 10 slogans for the new gay beer. Here we go. Number 10, for guys who don't like Bush. Number 9.
Such a reception for the 10th item in the top 10 list.
Yes. All right. Number nine, cold as a mountain stream, gay as a picnic basket. Number eight. Number eight, for all the gay stuff you do, this beer is for you. Number seven, made with the finest gay hops and barley. Number six, toss one back and while you're at it, have a beer.
Again. Toss one back. I don't know. Oh, I have an idea.
No.
I don't want to think about it.
Number five, the perfect drink for spending the afternoon watching Trading Spaces with the guys. Number four, come out of the closet and head for the mountains. Number three, wreck your liver and your marriage. Number two, drink until you can see straight. And the number one slogan for the new gay beer, the queen of beers. There you go.
Out of all the top 10 lists that I've seen and that I've collected and saved in my archives, I think that's my favorite. And with that, on the 40th anniversary of Dave's debut on late night television, we say that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for today, Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, 282 days remaining in our American system of democratic government as we have known it. We are here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock. Tomorrow should be a very, very interesting day, and perhaps Thursday even interestinger. So let's see what happens. We archive all of our shows. Email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook is The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. The Schnucks Panic Aisle is officially open. All kidding aside, be prepared on this thing. It has all of the indications of something that is going to be a monumental pain in the ass for two or three days. So please make sure you're prepared for all of this, and we'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later.
Bye. The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.